Is the microphone good to go? Okay. Praise the Lord for that. Deuteronomy chapter number 4 tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Excited about the message. This passage of Scripture, when I first studied it out, when I was still on staff at Bethany, really just, it resonated very, very deeply with me for a long time. And it still does to this day, and I'm thankful for it. It's a simple thought, it really is. But I believe it's a great reminder, and it's great to follow a revival. Heard it was great. Man, I hope you went to every night of that, because those things are so profitable for your life and for your church family, and just so good. So good. I always love revivals. Our home church just had one. I think it's probably concluding tonight, and Bethany tonight, and so it's just good, exciting. So, Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse number 1, if we'll all stand in honor and respect to God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, the Bible says this, says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" Here's the last verse we'll read for now. "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Let's pray. We'll get into the message tonight. Father, we're grateful for your word. Lord, I'm asking for your help tonight. God, I have no ability within myself to do this, but Lord, I'm asking that you help me, Lord, to say only what you want me to say. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit works tonight in the hearts of these believers. Thank you for them. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your word, and thank you for Christ. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Since traveling around with my family for the past 2.5 months or 2 months or so, I'm beginning to realize how much my wife did for our family. Now, I know I should have known this beforehand, but I'm beginning to realize how much my wife did, not only for our family in general, but especially for our kids, because our kids take a lot of organizational skills and planning. Now, I love my children, so when I talk, don't judge me and think that I don't love them, because I really do, okay? But they're a lot of work. They're snotty, they're dirty. My son likes to drink his water and then just let it come out of his mouth. Why? Why do they do that? I don't understand. They like to crush their goldfish and drop them on the floor, throw their toys, everything. But when we were getting ready to go on deputation, travel around and tell people about England and find partnering churches, my wife did a ton of planning for our children. She looked at where we were going to go. So right before Hurricane Ian came to Florida, we were in Florida. We were also in New Mexico. We also have been to Colorado, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, again, both sides of Texas, which is like two separate states because of the weather. And then we've been in Oklahoma, and then we drove up to Nebraska. Not in that order, but to say the least, we've been in a lot of different climates. Would you agree? So when you go to Roswell, New Mexico, it's really dry and it's really, 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 really terribly hot. It's a terrible place. Don't go. Unless God tells you to, but don't go. Florida is extremely humid. Anybody ever been to Florida? It's extremely humid, isn't it? And why are there so many lizards? I don't understand. But that's what I gathered from Florida, humidity and lizards. But then you go to Oklahoma and you get both. You get really hot and really humid. And not only in Oklahoma, I had my wisdom teeth pulled. I like to tell people so people feel bad for me. You don't have to, but that's what I want to tell you. In Oklahoma, it was hot, humid, and I had some dental work done, and it was bad. So we've been in all kinds of different climates, and now we're in Nebraska. Two things about Nebraska that I wasn't expecting. Number one, the bugs. What are those little gnat things that bite you? They're horrible. I don't like to be outside. They hurt. And then, anyways, all this to say this is my wife had had to plan for clothes for our children for all of those climates, for when they were going to grow and what size of clothes she thought they were going to be in, all of that. And I didn't realize, whenever I had like a normal job, when I went to work at 8:30 or 8 and then I got off at 5, I noticed two things that my wife would do for our family. Number one, seems like the number one job in my mind, she kept our children alive, right? And then number two, all the kids said amen to that. And then number two, she had food on the table. That's like the two things I noticed. Now, she did a lot of other things that were a lot really important as well. She did laundry. She cleaned the house. She called elderly in our church. She texted our teenagers when I was a youth pastor. She was always finding new music for specials and choir specials. She did a ton of stuff. But I really, a lot of times, only noticed the two big things. She kept our children alive and food. Now, the Israelites right here, if you've read your Bible, if you've heard about the Israelites, you understand that they're very forgetful people. They forget what God has done, and then they want to not serve God anymore because they forget what He's done. In the first three chapters of Deuteronomy, Moses is doing what I need someone to do for me. He's reminding the Israelites what God has done in the wilderness wanderings. He's saying, don't forget that God did this, and God did this, and God did this, and God did this, and God did this. But the Israelites remember, well, we're God's people, and we're going to the promised land. That's the two things that they remember, the two big things. You see what I'm saying? But Moses is reminding them of a lot of very small things, minute details that they easily could have forgot, but he's also reminding them of big things as well. So that's the first three chapters of Deuteronomy. But then you get to chapter number four, and it's like Moses stops and he says, okay, I'm going to preach now. It's like the opening illustration was the first three chapters. And then he gets to verse chapter number four, and it's a sermon on obedience. A sermon on obedience. And he starts it off like any good preacher. He says, now therefore, hearken, O Israel. Hey, listen up. Unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach, for to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you, what God has given you. And he's saying, you follow these commandments, you don't add to them, because if you add to them, you're not doing exactly what God has said. And if you take away from them, you're not doing exactly what God has said. Though you may do a part, and though you may do all, if you add, you're doing more. If you take away, you're not doing it all. So there's something wrong. And then he says this, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. Now, you have to take a time out because I don't remember what Baal Peor is just off the top of my head. So when I went to study it, you find out that Numbers chapter 25 is an awful story. I'm going to come down here for it, okay? Numbers chapter 25 is this. They're in the wilderness wandering, and some of the Israelites, the Bible calls it, they committed whoredom with the women of Moab. Now, God says, Moab is my washpot. It means this. He doesn't think a lot of Moab. The people of Moab, the Moabite people. And so he says, they commit whoredom with the Moabites. Well, that means they're worshiping false idols. They are doing things that God has directly told them not to do. And so this makes God angry. And a plague starts. And it's killing thousands of people. And God goes to Moses and he says, gather the leadership and take care of all those that are committing whoredom with Moab. And so they go and they start to take care of these men, and they start to, well, they killed them. They got them out of the tribe. They got them out of the nation. And as this is all happening, the plague is happening. They're taking care of the people that have committed the sin of idolatry. People are starting to gather at the door of the tabernacle. They're weeping. They're crying. They're asking God, what is going on? And out of that crowd, the man and the woman, the Moabitish woman and the man of Israel, come forward that started the whole thing. One of the leaders of Israel, his name was Phinehas, comes out with a spear, kills them both, the man and the woman. The plague stops. And Moses says, remember. He says, don't forget Baal Peor. How would you forget such a scene, right? But they had hope. The next verse says that all of you that were that cleave, that you clave to God, you held on to God, you didn't go worship the false idols. Moses says, you're alive today. Okay, so those of you that didn't add or take away from the commandments of God, like these people in Baal Peor, you're still alive. And then verse number 5, Moses keeps on. He says, I have taught you the statutes and the judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. He says, keep therefore and do them. Now, verse number 6 is an interesting verse, because he says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. And then he says this, when the nations hear this, this is what they're going to say, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. God says, my law is your wisdom and your understanding. And when the lost world is going to see it, they're going to say, man, they're really wise and understanding. Pretty simple, right? Okay, following? Then we get to verse number 7. For what nation is there so great, Moses asked, who hath God so nigh, so close unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? So verse number 7 is saying this. Hey guys, remember that God, he hears what you pray to. You pray to him and he hears your prayers. And then he gets to the next verse and he says this right here. Let's look at it again. What nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous? Now, when I read that, sometimes I'm like, okay, well, what's an unrighteous law? Like, stop at a stop sign. That's a pretty righteous thing to do. Because if you don't, you're going to, you know, get in a wreck or something. But as of late, I've begun to notice some unrighteous laws in our nation. Some things that, well, God tells us is wrong, but for some reason, the country we live in says, oh, this is okay. You following me? Well, so back in the day, that was the same thing. God's nation, Israel, said, hey, this law right here, this book that we're writing, the things that God says follow, these are righteous. But there are laws in other nations that are not so. And then we get to verse number 9. And this is where I really want to kind of start. And it says this, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Now, that phrase right there needs a little bit of work. Because whenever I read this, that verse struck me when I first read this. So I started to study out these words, and I found out that the word heed and keep. So heed and keep. Look at this again. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Heed and keep are the same Hebrew word. Now, that Hebrew word, I don't know how to say it, but it means this, to protect, guard, or attend to. Protect, guard, or attend to. So it says this, only protect, guard, or attend to yourself and your soul. Now, when you get to the word diligently, this is the one that kind of blew my mind. Because when you get down to the root idea of the word diligently, here it is. I want to read it to you so I know I say it right. It's to turn or gather embers together. To turn or gather embers. Now, personally, I like fire. Is there anybody else in here that likes fire? Right. I always want to go into stories, but I know it's not right because there's little ears in here. So, I like fire. We'll leave it at that. Now, when I bought a house in Lubbock, Texas, when it doesn't get cold, I told my wife, one of the things that we have to have is a fireplace. And so, we bought a house with a fireplace, and someone gave us this. This is my favorite fire tool. I call it my poker. Can you see it? This thing is crazy. One time I dropped it and hit my hand right here. It hurt so bad. But another story for another time. So this fire poker here is really a cool tool. But when I bought my house, I didn't know how to start a fire because I grew up in Texas and it really doesn't get that cold. Even in Lubbock, it doesn't get that cold, but I wanted a fireplace. My wife, like I told you, grew up in Washington. She's 60 miles north of Seattle. They heated their house with a wood stove for her entire life. So my wife's a fire expert. So when the first snow day in Lubbock happened, when I say snow day, it was like 3 inches. But it shut down the whole town for like 3 days. So it was awesome. So we're in our house, and I'm like, babe, let's start a fire. We got firewood. We got a fireplace. Let's start it. We got the poker. Let's do this thing. So I gather some logs. I throw them in, and I work on it for like an hour. I have a good wife. I know. I saw that face. I know. You can judge me. It's cool. I have a good wife who didn't say anything for a really long time, Brother Ben. A long time. Like an hour and a half. I went through a whole lot of thrifty nickels. If you know what that is, it's the free newspapers. You know what I mean? A lot of them. And she goes, hey, Colin. She's so sweet and low for Brother Ben. So, sorry, that's an inside joke. Shouldn't do that from the pulpit. But ask Chad about it. He's a hilarious guy on the video. So, she says, hey, Colin, do you want me to start this fire or show you how to start a fire? I'm like, I'm frustrated at this point. At this point, I'm like, sure. So she goes, okay, well, you can't start a fire with those logs. Go get some kindling. And I'm like, what's kindling? I was lighting paper, okay? She's like, go get some scraps of wood, some leaves, some dry stuff. So I go out there, and I find some dry stuff, and I'm like, here you go. Don't know how to start a fire with this. So she builds up a little pile underneath, and she lights it on fire. Well, all of a sudden, she's got a fire going really fast. I'm impressed. She's awesome, I'm telling you. So she starts this fire, and it's kind of going, but I'm like, okay, at this point, can I get it ripping? And she's like, yeah. So I start adding logs that should not be burned in a fireplace my size, but I was doing it because I like fire. I want my fire to be so hot that I feel like one of those hot dogs at the gas station that's been cooking all day and your face starts doing this. That's how hot I want my fire in my house. So we get it rolling like that. And we get it rolling so hot that we have to stay up like 3 or 4 hours later than we wanted to because, you know, you can't leave a fire that's ripping that hard, like, you know, in your house because it'll burn your house down. Found that out that day too. So I'm sitting there and we're waiting. I'm pretty sure this is pre-kids because we wouldn't have done this. But we're waiting. Finally, it goes down enough where my wife's like, I think it's safe. I'm like, sweet. So we go to bed, and the next morning we wake up, and I want to start another fire because, well, it's a snow day in Lubbock. Snow day. It's like 3 inches on the ground. We're not doing anything. Everybody brought, you know, bread and water, whatever. So we're there at the house, and I'm about to start a fire, so I go grab some kindling. My wife's like, no, you don't need any kindling. And I'm like, babe, you told me you have to start a fire with kindling. What is going on here? She said, just get some logs. And the proud husband that I am, I'm like, okay. So I get some logs and I put it on top. And she takes this little fire poker. She goes underneath the logs and she starts to turn around. Now there's like gray ash over it, but when she starts to turn, it's glowing red. I'm impressed. I'm like, what did you do? Where did those come from? Come to find out, they're coals. They're embers. And she starts to gather them together and they're building heat and they're starting to glow more and more and more. And then you know what she does? She pokes a little bit with this guy right here, and then she goes, and my favorite sound in the world happens. It was awesome. I'm like, babe, how'd you do that? And so I learned that day that if you want to start a fire after you've already had a fire, all you've got to do is turn the embers and gather them together. And so when I read this and I studied it out, it says to only protect, guard, and attend to yourself and your soul. Here's the idea. Like you would a fire that is going to keep you alive. This fire. Now think about fire back in the day. They didn't have heaters. A fire was like your lifeblood. Someone was assigned to have the fire hot at all times in the winter. And so what Moses is saying is this. You have to attend to your own life and your own soul like a fire that's going to keep you alive. But what happens if you don't? It's the next phrase. Look at this. And we're going to start rolling here in just a second. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Now, time out. What had the Israelites seen? When you go back to the book of Exodus, they had seen some amazing things. So they were slaves in Egypt. Remember that? And there were 10 plagues. Now, some of these plagues are some of my favorites. I love the plagues. Like, I have a friend that was just in Egypt. He was sending me videos. He sent me videos of, like, sand and, you know, the Red Sea, all these things. So he sends me a video of Egypt, and I'm like, man, that's a dusty place. You know what the Bible says? Dust turned into lice. Egypt is a dusty place, y'all. That's a lot of lice. That's nasty. You know what I mean? Okay. Like hailstones with fire, locusts, that's disgusting. All of those things. But then you get my favorite plague of all time, the frogs. How do you not love the frogs? Like, Moses tells Pharaoh, they're going to be in your bed, they're going to be in your kitchen, they're going to be in the most private place you think you got in the palace, there's going to be a frog. So, the frogs come. I hate frogs. If you're sleeping out by a pond, you know how loud bullfrogs are? They're so dumb. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to sleep. I hate them. So can you imagine like the sleepless nights that Pharaoh had with all these frogs? And then Moses goes to him, and Pharaoh's like, you got to get rid of these frogs. And Moses says, okay, when do you want them gone? Pharaoh's a big dummy. And he says, tomorrow. One more night with the loud frogs. So then the next day, the frogs die, and it says they gather them into heaps. And you know the Bible says? It said they stinketh. They stunk. That's disgusting. You know what it looks like when there's like mounds of snow in parking lots that they plowed, right? Can you imagine the heaps of frogs? How could you forget the frogs, right? Well, then they finally get like released from Egypt. They're free from slavery, and what happens? They get to the Red Sea. I saw a video of the Red Sea. It's not a puddle. It's a sea. It looks like an ocean. It's huge. Like my friend was there. He was like, look, I'm fishing on the Red Sea. And I'm like, that's huge. That's a gigantic sea. And you know what God did? He parted it. Two walls of water. How do you forget that? But Moses is saying, you need to do this, lest thou forget the things that your eyes have seen. But think about the wilderness. Moses hit a rock and water came forth. Manna came from the sky. Every morning there's enough manna for everybody. That's an amazing thing. It says their shoes didn't wear out. I don't know how that works. You walk on them for 40 years, you figure there'd be a hole in them, but God's power, right? And then, one of my favorite things about the wilderness is this. They got sick of manna, and they said, give me meat. So God gave them quail. Have you ever eaten quail? It's a waste of time. It's like a mini chicken nugget. Like, that's all you get from this one bird. And they had enough that the Bible said for millions of people, it was coming out their nose. The Bible says it came out their nostrils. That's a lot of quail. That's a lot of quail. And God, through Moses, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this, don't forget what your eyes have seen. Well, how do you do that? You attend to yourself and your soul like a fire. And then the next verse says, specially. And it gives an account. It says this, specially the day that you gathered in Horeb. And it's talking about Mount Sinai. And God called Moses and he said, hey, Moses, have the people gather at the bottom of this mountain. And I want to read this to you because it's absolutely amazing. And we're almost done. Look at this. It says this, and you came near and you stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but you saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded to you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them on 2 tables of stone. Did you catch that? The voice of God came from this mountain and gave them the 10 commandments. And Moses says, don't forget. How in the world could they forget hearing the actual voice of God? Isn't that amazing? The 10 commandments. Thou shalt not. The voice of God. They heard it with their own ears. And Moses says, don't forget. Don't forget. So, if the Israelites had the tendency to forget the things that God had done in their life. Now, it's amazing. Because when you read this verse, it goes from an international, it goes from a national size remembrance. And he says, hey, you saw Baal Peor. The entire nation saw Baal Peor. But then it gets to verse number 9, and it goes to individual. And he says this, only take heed to your soul and yourself. Take care of your own fire so you don't forget. Because if you don't forget, the nation won't forget. And if the nation doesn't forget, you're going to be a wise and understanding people. And go back to the next verse, and it says this, and you'll possess the land. But ladies and gentlemen, we see that they forgot. When you read the book of Judges, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's because they forgot. The warning was given. The warning was given and they forgot. Now the question is this, how does this apply to us today? We haven't heard the voice of God. We haven't seen the Red Sea. We didn't hear the frogs or smell the frogs. So what have we seen? Well, in John, it says that the disciples and the followers of Christ were going to do greater works than even Jesus. Well, what's that greater work? Well, the greatest miracle, if you're saved, has happened within you. He's forgiven you of your sins. When you share the gospel and someone is saved, that's greater. That's greater than the Red Sea. It's greater than the frogs. It's greater than the manna and the quail. Because it's an eternal work. It's a work that, well, a soul was dead but now has been reconciled and is going to heaven. That's an amazing thing that you can say. If you're saved, God did that for me. Can I tell you what you hear almost? Like, just get the picture. It's like, whoo, it's like a fire. It gets you excited. And if you remember what God has done for you, you know what it makes you want to do? It's crazy. It makes you want to do more for Him because He's already done so much for you. And so if you are saved and you remember your salvation and you remember where you were before and you understand the work that Christ did for you on the cross, okay, God, what do you want? And He says, okay, here's the next step. And you take the next step and you take the next step and you take the next step and you begin to do what your pastor was talking about. You begin to read the Bible. And you say, God, I need something from you today. And you read until you get it. And when you read and then you get it, you're like, man, God put that in the Bible for me today. And it's like a piece of firewood on your fire. And then, okay, well, what does the Bible say? What you go to Brother Chad, you go to Pastor Moore and you say, okay, well, what does the Bible say I need to do? And sometimes Brother Chad, like I said, he can rip someone's face off. He had a ton of practice in Bible college. Right here, punching bag. That's what I did. I took it. But when he tells you, or Brother Moore, or when they're preaching from behind this pulpit, and the Holy Spirit's like, hey, that's for you. You need to stop doing this. And whenever you stop and you allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify you, conform you into the image of Christ, here's what happens. Here, it's amazing. It's like another piece of firewood. And it's, and then you come to revival, and you're there every night, and it's like firewood, firewood. It's like a whole cord, firewood. You know what I mean? And there's like you have like a bonfire going now. And there's just flames, and you're so excited. And you know what you want to do when you're that excited about the things of God? More. You want to obey Him more, and obey Him more, and obey Him more. But somewhere down the road, because we're all sinners, we stop poking at our fire. Now, when we lose the desire to obey God, it's because we haven't turned our fire in a long time. And I know y'all just went through revival. And I'm sure there's a ton of excitement. But if you want to keep that going, you know what you have to do? Remember. If you remember as a group, as Valley Avenue Baptist Church, as a church family, and you remind each other, hey, remember what God did? Hey, let me tell you what God spoke to me about my Bible today. Hey, let me remember that time that this happened, and you remind each other, that'll help. But if you want to keep things going and you want your fire and other people's fire to blaze, you have to have individual remembrance. And this is how you do it. You turn your fire to keep the desire to be obedient to God. And the things that you turn are the awesome, mighty works that God has done in your heart and your life. It's amazing that God works in all of our lives in such a way that we personally can remember how God of the universe worked individually in our lives. It's amazing. How do we forget? And it's like fire dies and dies and dies and dies and dies. And at some point or another, you're just here at a routine. But if you have individual remembrance and group remembrance, you know what people in Fall City, Nebraska are going to say? Man, that group over there is like a wise and understanding people. I mean, it's just like, huh, what happens over there? You know what I'm talking about? And so all you got to do is get your fire poker out. And maybe you need to poke somebody next to you and say, hey, remember this? Hey, remember that? Hey, remember that revival that we just had? Remember that message? Remember praying? Man, that was amazing, wasn't it? Man, remember that choir special? Hey, remember that? Remember this? And you just constantly remind each other of the things of God and what He's done. You know what it'll do? It'll make you go, Well, we better go tell somebody else that doesn't already know all these stories. So, here's the challenge, here's the encouragement. It's this right here. Maybe you went through revival and God did a work. But then you got to this week and it was like, oh, something just kind of almost knocked you off the saddle, right? Kind of poured some water on your fire. Maybe something didn't go the way you thought it should. Maybe tonight you just need to come and just tell God, God, thank you for doing a work. Thank you for my salvation. Maybe you just need to come and talk to Him. Remember, reminisce with Him like an old friend and tell Him, God, I know you already know this, but it's good for me to remember. Or maybe you say, okay, well, I need it daily. Well, get a journal and write stuff down. And then go back when you're feeling discouraged, read it. It's that simple. All you have to do is remember the mighty acts of God, turn that fire, and it'll give you the desire to obey Him every day. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be done. Father, we're grateful for Your word. Thankful for Your mighty acts within us. And Lord, I don't understand it, but Lord, I'm so thankful that You, the most powerful being in the universe, the Creator God, cares enough about us to work individually in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray that You help us to remember so we continue to obey You and bring You glory and honor. Help us not to forget so we can help others know. In Jesus' name, amen.